Chapter 58.
This is a terrible idea, former Satraper Tileli Azmuth whispered. The Chromarius messenger is in a room not 50 paces from here. If she steps outside her room at the wrong moment...
Apparently Tia had come in at a good time. She dodged another servant in full regalia and white gloves carrying wine.
They have no claim on him, the Nukaba said. It doesn't matter. And how dare you speak to me that way? You're not even a satrapa anymore.
She might have been teasing. Tia couldn't see the Nukaba's facial expressions in the few brief upward glimpses she afforded herself. Tia was, of course, invisible, but coming into the feast in the Great Hall had not been one of her better ideas. It was called a Great Hall, and indeed it was huge, but it was also filled with nearly 1,000 people. They weren't quietly sitting at their tables and talking and eating, either. They were milling about, grabbing wine jugs and food from beleaguered kitchen slaves, gambling, singing along to musicians, grabbing the asses of the slave dancers, kissing, gambling, and Tia didn't even know what else. A yellow show drafter appeared to have eaten a large quantity of hallucinogenic mushrooms and was sketching wonders in the air and blathering incoherently. It was still a good 5 hours until midnight.
"This what happens when the first 4 courses consist of beer, wine, brandy, and arrack?" a nobleman said to Tia.
He started when he looked toward her and saw nothing.
"Oh, Nuella, I thought you were standing right here," he said to a woman a few paces away.
He must have sensed Tia's presence. Her breathing? Had she made a sound? How could he have heard that in this cacophony? She hadn't come directly to the high table on purpose. Instead, she'd been driven here as she'd dodged into what gaps she could see. She'd thought it would be safe to come in here, that anyone who ran into her would likely be drunk and not even notice it. Instead, because whenever she wanted to see, she had to uncover her own eyes, it meant she was giving hundreds of people a chance to discover her over and over again. Satrapa Azmuth looked baffled.
"You're not really considering."
The Nukaba picked up a narrow sausage and looked at her. She took a bite and chewed, apparently in no hurry to answer her.
"So tell me again why you think I shouldn't unveil him here. Would it not be a demonstration of my power? To have plucked such a prize from the Chromaria itself? Fuck that! I'm not even talking about that idiotic idea now," Satrapa Azmuth said. "Are you really considering letting them demote me?" "Oh, I'm considering doing it even if we reject their proposal. You seem to be forgetting your place in our partnership."
It hit the satrapa like a punch in the face.
"Are you?"
She looked as if she were struggling to contain herself and failing.
"Are you fucking insane?"
The Nukaba sucked the juices off long, gold-lacquered fingernails.
"Careful, old woman. Addressing me with such language flies perilously close to blasphemy." "Blasphemy? Who do you think?"
But the satrapa regained control of herself and stopped speaking, though she did set her cup down with a bang. Tia wanted to see how this turned out. What the satrapa did, what she said afterward, and what she would do when the dinner was over. Would the Nukaba apologize when she was sober? Would she take some vengeance? For Aholim's sake, the satrapa was the Nukaba's spymaster. If there's one person you don't threaten, it's got to be your spymaster, right? But it was all irrelevant. Satrapa Azmuth was flushed with rage, and that was all Tia needed. What she might do or might say, or that she seemed like a nice woman, that all meant nothing. The warm red light of the fire in the great hearth and the many torches suffused Tia and gave her all the passion she needed. She was become death, and she would collect her due. She'd already scanned the satrapa's body. The blood vessels around her heart were already narrowed, as Tia would expect in one who'd had so much stress and so many years and a rich diet to boot. One by one, Tia brought paral crystals into the woman's bloodstream, making many little crystals of it in the vessels leading to her heart, one for each slave she'd had to kill for these bastards. The satrapa's own body attacked those invaders immediately, forming clots. Tia merely nudged the clots closer toward each other, helping them glom together. One passed through the narrow opening and whooshed right through. Then another, as Tia had to dodge a servant carrying the next course of the meal. But Tia had made half a dozen clots and one caught. then another, on another ventricle of the heart. She started moving to get out and barely heard the woman grunt. How dare you act decent and kind? How dare you merely do your duty while you served this monster? 1,000 slaves might die at your word, and 100,000 if you nudged the Nukaba one way rather than the other, and you didn't care. All you cared for was yourself.
How dare you?
How dare you show a face to me that seemed kind and good? There is nothing kind and good. Tia slid as far as a slave's door before she turned around, till Lily Asmith was grabbing her left arm and grimacing. It was over. Tia had claimed some small vengeance. She didn't even need to see her work. As she turned away, Tia heard a crash as the woman fell.
Tileli, the Nukaba said. Satrapa, damn you, what's wrong?
Tia felt only a warm satisfaction, the lambent radiation into her soul of a big fuck you to all of them.
Tileli,
the Nukaba shouted, as everyone else went quiet in waves, music cutting out, awkward laughs hanging in the air from people who hadn't seen yet, and gasps from those who had.
Tileli, don't do this to me!
Tia looked at the Nukaba's puffy, stupid face and thought, one down. The night wasn't over yet.